Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour is brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Welcome, friends, to the Rediscover Hour. Patrick Conley with you again. And I have to ask, how's that Lent going? I hope it's going really well for you. Yeah, Paul Sadek is giving me the thumbs up. It's going well for him as well. I hope that you are experiencing the joy of the Lord in this Lenten season because, quite frankly, again, Lent is a season of joy. And I'd just like to start off the show. We got a really packed show today, and I'm really excited about it, but I want to give just a thought that occurred to me as I was trying to dig out from all the snow that we received over last weekend. You remember that? Yeah. So we do not have a snowblower in our family, so it's elbow grease that gets the snow out of the driveway. And as I was shoveling and thinking about it, so first I was removing all the big, heavy snow at the top of it, and then I got down to where the tire tracks had been, and so the shovel was partially effective at getting some of that stuff off, but some of it was just stubborn and just sticking there. And I thought, you know, as I was reflecting on it, this is pretty analogous to our own struggling with sin, right? And that the Lord requires us to work in cooperation with His grace to set our minds and our hearts in line with His, in order with His, so that we can remove that sin, that He can remove that sin from our lives. And so sometimes there are those presenting sins that we're ever aware of, that we confess again and again and again in the confessional. And it seems like every time there's a new dumping of snow, or we enter into those sins again, we gotta roll up our sleeves and we gotta get that out of there, in conjunction, of course, with the grace of God. But then as we do that, it's not like the driveway or our souls are immediately, it seems, clear, but then new sins, or not new, but perhaps hidden sins, are revealed that on a deeper level we actually might not have even realized we're there, because we're always preoccupied with the more presenting sins. And so with the grace of God, we go to work on those sins, right? And we scrape them off, which is somewhat effective. And then even once we've done that, there's still that little stubborn bit that's right at the core of things, right? That would seek not to be the presenting sins, not to be the ones that we are so familiar with, but the ones that have crept in. And that's the ones that, well, they'll do a lot of damage to your driveway, right? And they'll do a lot of damage to our souls. So the Lord wants to get all the way down there and then take care of those. And the beautiful thing about it, as I was laboring away and eventually had to call it quits and leave a few of these stubborn sins, as it were, on the driveway of my soul, I recognized once again, because the sun came out and it warmed up, and little by little, even those very last bits of ice melted away. And it seems to me that that is what is at the very heart of our giving ourselves over to the Lord in Lent, and specifically in the sacrament of reconciliation, that as we present all these things before the Lord, as we become aware of the sins in our lives, whether they be the presenting ones or the really subtle and hidden ones in our lives, as we become aware of them, we present them to the Lord in the confessional, His grace melts them away. And thanks be to God for that. And that is cause for joy. And that is a cause for bringing much joy in this Lenten season. So take the time, folks. Take the time to get to the sacrament of confession. Confess your sins and let the grace of God, like the warm, almost post-winter sun does in terms of melting away those damaging sins on our souls. All right, so that's my little Lenten reflection for this morning, but that's where I'm going to leave it, because we, as I said, have a packed show that I'm very excited about. First off, we're going to be talking with PJ Butler and Morgan Smith about something called Twin Cities Way of the Cross that you're going to want to know about, because I'm sure many of you are going to want to participate in that. After that, we're going to be talking with Lynn Stika about a program down at St. Wenceslaus that's called Breakfast with Dads. Breakfast with Dads. So stick around for that one as well. And then at the end of the show, we're going to be welcoming Liz Kelly and Sarah Dam to the show. On a Jesus Approaches Women's Scripture Study. So we've got three things that can really help to grow and cultivate our faith that we're going to be talking about throughout the show today with five, yes, count them, five guests. An exciting show. So what we're going to be doing is at the top of the show, as always, pausing and committing the show to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mothers. Together we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heading into our first break, but stay with us, folks. It's going to be a great show. We'll be back with PJ Butler, Morgan Smith, and The Way of the Cross.
Do you know what it means to give first? It's giving without asking for something in return, right? Helping a neighbor, friend, or family member. Giving your time, energy, or money to support a great cause. Well, the folks at Catholic United Financial know firsthand the benefits of giving first. Why? Because they're a not-for-profit financial company. For example, no one asked them to raise millions of dollars each year for Catholic schools. It's what they do. No one asked them to give post-secondary scholarships to over 500 kids each year. It's what they do. No one asked them to create a disaster response team 10 years ago to help those in need. And finally, no one asked them to hold annual volunteer events to help benefit the homeless and those less well-off. They do it because they're a give-first organization, and they've been doing it for 140 years. People helping people with life insurance, annuities, and retirement products. Look them up at CatholicUnitedFinancial.org and do business with a give-first organization. Give them a call today.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio, and I am pleased to welcome to the studio for the first two of our five guests today, but PJ Butler and Morgan Smith, who are with a group called Communion and Liberation, that have organized something called the Twin Cities Way of the Cross. And you may think that you know what the Way of the Cross is all about, but I don't think you know what this one is all about. And that's why we have them on the program. So welcome to the program, PJ, Morgan.
Thank you.
Hi, thank you.
Yeah, great to be with you this morning. And as we start out, first of all, tell us a little bit about what Communion and Liberation is.
Yeah, so CL, or the movement, is an ecclesial movement recognized by the Holy See in the mid-80s, I think. It's an international lay association of people in many countries throughout the world. It started in Italy in the mid-1950s. A group of people surrounded a late Milanese priest named Luigi Giussani, and it was in high school, then moved to college, and then as they aged into family life, they continued to stay together, and there's a particular educational charism about it, trying to educate each other and oneself to the presence of God and the way that we can relate to the divine in any and every circumstance that we're in. And so it's educational, it's missional, so that'll get to what the Way of the Cross is all about as a way of witnessing what it's like to live the life of the Church and the life of Christ. It's been in the United States for about 30 years. It's been in the Twin Cities about that long, too, the coasts. There are a number of communities here in the Twin Cities, and Morgan and I are part of one that meets in St. Paul. So that's kind of a crash course in the history of it.
Right.
Nice. Yeah, we love it.
Thank you, PJ. Morgan, how did you come to first be involved with Communion and Liberation?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's right.
That's an intense question. Well, it usually occurs through meeting other people in this movement. And I met some people in Chicago, and I was very attracted to the way that they were living their life. In particular, these questions that they were asking about reality. Who am I? What does this mean? What does work mean for me? What is the meaning of this? Where is Christ in all of this? And these are questions that I had been asking since I was a little girl. Mm. And never really had answered for me, which is why I actually became an atheist at the age of 8, because nobody was answering these questions for me. So when I became Catholic and I met these beautiful people who are asking these questions, I mean, this struck me so hard to my core, because it was like something that I have desired my entire life in these questions, and I couldn't not be attracted to that. Mm-hmm. And so the movement is where it's where I find Christ, where I'm able to really be educated to see him in every circumstance.
Wow. Well, that's a no small gift, is it? Wow. Wonderful. All right. So let's turn the page to the way of the cross specifically. And I'm sorry to move us along, but I'm very interested in this. As I look over the little card that you gave me here, it looks fascinating. So, Morgan, why don't you start? What's the way of the cross all about? Like, what are we talking about here?
All right. So each year we gather downtown St. Paul, and we walk a literal way of the cross through downtown St. Paul. And we start at the cathedral, but more importantly, we walk over to the Capitol, and that's where we really begin the proceedings.
Okay.
And then we process with the cross, and we reflect on five stations of the cross. But the beautiful thing about this is, it happens on Good Friday, I should probably mention that. But the beautiful part of this is that people in the movement are organizing this all over the world. So while we're walking downtown St. Paul with this beautiful public prayer, people in Brooklyn, thousands of people in Brooklyn are walking. Thousands of people in Chicago are walking. People in Milan. I mean, this is an amazing, public, beautiful, concrete prayer that really testifies to the presence of Christ among us.
Mm. Yeah. PJ, how long has this been going on?
We've been doing it in the Twin Cities for a handful of years. I think the first attempt at it was many years ago, but only recently have we begun to really organize and get the pieces in place. We had the bishop come last year. Last year was the first time we actually did it downtown. Years past, we've done it kind of Cathedral Hill, Summit Hill, a little bit less visible. And one of the main purposes of the Way of the Cross is to be visible, to be public, because and this was one of the things that really touched me when I first did the Way of the Cross in Chicago, was the one of the introductory paragraphs indicates that we're walking through the city, our city, there's people all around who are alone carrying their cross. Mm-hmm. And we want to announce and reveal to them and invite them, first of all, reveal to them that they're not alone, that we're carrying our cross together. And of course, the divine companion is carrying his cross with us and carrying our cross, and we're on. And so these people all alone don't have to be alone. And so we want to communicate that to the city, our city, our people, our families. You know, this is something that we all want for ourselves and for our loved ones. So we moved it to downtown. And it was great. We're crossing streets, people are looking at us. We had some police escorts helping out. So it took on a new, exciting feel. And we want everyone to be united with us in this. We want it to be for the Twin Cities. It's not a CL thing.
Right.
It's a gesture to the world.
Right. And it's a way of saying. It's a way of saying I am for Christ as well, which is something that we've talked about. Morgan, what does it mean to be for Christ?
Well, I think so often in our society, Catholics are tempted to kind of join into this against behavior, to join in and maybe protest something and show that we're against it, which is not in and of itself a bad thing. But being for Christ is a positive. It is a positive, beautiful thing. And we live our lives for him, not against something else, but for him and for each other, for love for one another, for communion with our community. And so I think that coming together and walking in a solemn procession that is silent with sacred music, there's a choir involved here, but being together in this way in public is so beautiful because we are showing that we live for him. We live for Christ. and we're not angry. We're not violent. We're not against something. We are for it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Proclaiming our faith in Christ, well, as we talked about at the top of the show, our turning ourselves over, our need for him. And I assume that this cross that you take on the way of the cross is not like, you know, the size of one you'd wear around your neck.
No, it's probably 6-7 feet tall, maybe, yeah. Maybe less than that. It's just thin, like one by is put together into the shape of a cross, so a teenager can carry it, and a teenager usually does for whatever reason, but you know, through the whole 2.5 mile route, they're carrying it, you know, so it's visible.
2.5 miles, okay, so yeah, take us, what you said, meet at the cathedral, but really start at the Capitol. What's the route?
Yeah, so the kind of the introductory starting point is the Cathedral of St. Paul, but the very first station is going to be the Capitol, which is reminiscent of where Jesus' passion started, you know, with Pontius Pilate and the government, and it's a secular thing. And then it processes around to St. Louis, King of France. And we stop there, and we set up speakers, and there's music, and there's a little bit of a meditation from Giussani and some poetry, whatever. And then we continue on to Rice Park, do the same thing there, back up to Assumption, and then finally we ascend Cathedral Hill up at the cathedral at the steps there, right in time for the 7 p.m. Good Friday service.
Nice.
So it's a nice way to celebrate Good Friday.
Yeah. How many people have you had attend this in the past, and how many are you hoping for this year?
It's hard to tell what we're going to have this year because we're doing things like this, and we're trying to invite a lot more people than we have in the past. But last year, you weren't even there last year. You were in Miami at their Way of the Cross.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
We had, I would have to estimate, 75, maybe more. We have pictures, so we can
I think
it looks
like over 100
okay.
to me.
Okay.
Yeah.
So somewhere around there.
Yeah.
But what we're hoping for is again for all of these Christians in the Twin Cities, not only Catholics, just all Christians to come together for this. Because in these other cities that we're talking about now, we're getting a role, right? We're starting this, but other cities are more established. I think Brooklyn gets over 10,000 or something ridiculous. Like, ooh, it's a huge number of people that go cross the Brooklyn Bridge. But Chicago has about 3,000 to 5,000 people. And that was my first experience with Way of the Cross. And it was amazing because I volunteered to help. And one of my job was to carry the audio cables for the speakers. Now, we set up speakers at every stop, and we're talking about downtown Chicago, so these stops are like blocks and blocks away. So as soon as the last person is done speaking or singing, we have to take down this equipment really fast and run to the next stop before the other people get there, because we have to be all set up. So the most beautiful part of that was we're already there where people are wanting to go. And we turn and see this sea of people walking through the street. It's a sea, and it's coming towards us. And you can see how we've picked up people along the way. And you know, it's so amazing. And to me, that really encapsulates and makes concrete this word movement, this being for, moving for Christ. We are together for him, moving together toward him.
Right.
Right?
Right. So, again, it happens on Good Friday, March the 30th this year, and it's a meet at the cathedral at what time?
4:45 p.m.
4:45 p.m., okay. And thanks be to God, especially since we'll be on daylight saving time by then. Yeah, right? Well, it should be relatively light for the whole journey. Great. Okay, so 4:45, and then move to the Capitol, then to St. Louis, King of France, to Rice Park, Assumption, and then back to the cathedral.
That's right.
And can I just say, we have a really informative website, and the website and all of our publications actually have the route on them. So let's say you get out of work at 6 or something, please join us. You know, try to look and see where we're going to be. Don't let that stop you from coming.
And what is that website address?
It is wayofthecrosstwincities.org.
wayofthecrosstwincities.org, all one word, .org. Yes. Okay, way of the cross Twin Cities. All right. And as you said, it concludes at the cathedral just in time for the 7 o'clock service, so you can be part of that as well. Yeah, wonderful. Okay, so what is your thought about what kind of fruit this bears, not only in the community, but also in the people who take part?
Well, I think, just the initial thing that comes to mind is when I go downtown, I remember what we did.
Yeah.
And that memory is itself just a little bit of a reminder, like, oh, and I can think about this and ask the question again, Lord, what does it mean to be in relationship with you right now in this place? Look at the people around me. You know, it just sort of opens that up again when I can be going through my life at service level, whatever. So for me personally, that would be a fruit. I don't know what you have, Morgan. Anything?
I think to me, it moves me in a way that makes me want to give myself more. So you can see I'm sitting here right now. And I help with the organization of this thing. I helped with Miami last year and the Twin Cities last year. And that's not only it. It goes way beyond that. My heart is so moved in this movement, this physical movement, that it moves me beyond myself and forces me actually to ask these questions and to give myself more.
Wonderful. So 2 hours, 2.5 miles, wayofthecrosstwincities.org. No registration is required, I assume. Just show up and partake. Morgan Smith, PJ Butler, thank you so much for joining us on the Rediscover Hour.
Thanks for having us.
All right. Well, that's just stage one. Are you already hooked? I am. Way of the Cross. It sounds like a great practice. That's something that I would love to take part in. And up next, Lynn Stika. Stay around.
What does Relevant Radio mean to you?
It's like family, and I'm so comforted and edified and inspired. It's a gift, and you're all fabulous.
When you listen to this radio network, you know you're not alone on your journey. Yeah, it's tough. The hills and the mountains are sometimes really steep. But when you listen to The Inner Life, when you listen to Relevant Radio, we hope that you can walk away feeling emboldened, maybe just feeling a little bit better about who you are and knowing that you're not alone on the journey. And there's so much consolation in that with God's grace, you can walk through a lot of these things that we all deal with.
Relevant Radio is listener-supported radio. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. Recurring gift partners provide a stable source of income for Relevant Radio, helping to reduce both expense and dependency on pledge drives, allowing us to focus on our programs and future needs. Donate now at relevantradio.com, keyword gift, or tap on the banner on the Relevant Radio app.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Conley with you again, along with our producer, Susanna Parent, and Paul Sadek, our techno producer, coming to you from the Relevant Radio Studios, 1330 AM out in Golden Valley. And we thank them, as always, for their hospitality. Rediscover Hour is sponsored by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. Joining us now in studio is Lynn Stika, who grew up in New Prague, Minnesota, on a dairy farm, and attended St. Wenceslas Catholic School for 8 years and married her high school sweetheart, Keith. After college, they decided to move back to New Prague shortly before having their 3 children. And she is involved. Well, there's a whole number of young things for young children in St. Wenceslas. I've got a whole litany of them here. But specifically, it was something called Breakfast with Dads. Well, Lynn, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's great. And you traveled all the way up from New Prague, so thank you for doing that.
Absolutely.
Just to be with us. Yeah. And, okay, Breakfast with Dads. It sounds very intriguing. Launch in. Tell us, what is Breakfast with Dads?
Well, about 3 years ago, I have been leading a women's book club.
Okay.
And every woman in the book club would comment about how they wish that their husband had something similar. And we would all start laughing, like, oh yeah, right, like our husbands would ever come to our book club, or like they would ever start their own book club. And so I just started thinking, what way could I get our husbands and men in our parish involved with their faith? And so I kind of came up with this idea of breakfast with dads. I knew that if I asked guys to come and talk about their faith or meet with father, that probably wouldn't work, that we'd have to kind of get them maybe to bring their kids and then maybe they would come. And so I met with our priest, Father Kevin Clinton, and I asked him if he would help facilitate this on Saturday mornings, and he loved the idea. And then I looked for a host because I knew being a woman, that probably wouldn't be the greatest fit. And so I looked no further than my father-in-law, who has had this ministry on his heart for a very long time. And the pieces just started falling together. So I came up with a flyer and started circulating it. And all of a sudden, men, dads started coming Saturday mornings from 8 to 9:30 with their children. And the way we start it is when they show up, they're served a very light breakfast. We've served yogurt parfaits, waffles, toast, bagels, fruit, something very simple. And the men with their children sit, and they're able to not only converse with their own children, but men and other children. And what's really great is that they have access to our priest right then and there. And before the men separate from their children, Father Kevin says a prayer and talks directly to the children with their dads. And the children are released to me and to some wonderful volunteers that I could never, ever do this without. And we go to the gym and they get to play. And I usually try to do some sort of craft that corresponds with the weekend's gospel. And the men go with Father Kevin and our host, Norb, and they meet and talk about the weekend's readings. And it's been incredibly receptive. The children love it because they get to play with their friends and wonderful friends that they get to meet play with every Saturday. And then the guys have been incredibly receptive to learning more about the weekend's readings, and it's an opportunity that they've never had before, and they feel comfortable because they're all men.
Yeah. This is every Saturday?
Every Saturday.
Oh my goodness.
And that's a really great point, because initially when I went and talked to our priest, I said, you know, maybe once a month, would you be willing to do this once a month? And he said, Lynn, that'll never work. We have to do it every weekend. And I said, every weekend? And he said, yes, let's do it every weekend. And I said, all right, let's try it. Let's do it every weekend. And I think from having a sales background, momentum is incredibly important. And he was right, because the dads don't have to think, is it this weekend?
Oh, I'm all in favor of that then.
I mean, it is every weekend. And another point that I'll highlight is from the mom, wife perspective, they are encouraging their husbands to go, because they get an hour and a half in the morning
on a Saturday morning. Oh,
yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Praise be. All right. So how long has this been going on now?
Well, so we started it a year and a half ago.
Wow.
And we stopped during the summer. And so we tried picking it up again this past fall. And we wanted to try something new, and we wanted to make it a family event. So we started saying, you know, wives, mothers should come. And that was a huge fail. It was a huge fail.
Okay.
We lost the momentum for sure. So after Easter here, we have a discipleship series going on in our parish right now, where Norb has been facilitating a group of men. After Easter, we're going to hopefully start up again.
Wow. It's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
So, When the kids get together, what age kids are we talking about here?
Well, we have to admit that we're competing against sports.
Well,
so
sure.
A lot of younger children. The oldest is probably 9 and down.
Okay.
We have infants show up. So we never know from Saturday to Saturday how many people are going to come. But we want to make sure that they feel welcome, whether they come once a month or every Saturday.
All right. How much, just looking at it from behind the scenes mm-hmm. here, because I'm hoping what's going on, this is part of our Great Catholic Parishes segment that we do on the first weekend of every month. I'm hoping that there are some parishes thinking, hey, mm-hmm. we could do something like mm-hmm. this, right? So how much behind the scenes, how much craziness is going on logistically to pull this off every week?
Food-wise, we've always kept it very simple, and that would be key. So we essentially buy bananas and grapes every week, and if there's some left over, it's left over, mm-hmm. and it's easy to take that stuff home, and a loaf of bread, you know, for toast. So that's really all you would need. We've had dads stop at bakeries beforehand, and they just show up with donuts, which obviously has been perceived very well.
That's been popular?
Yes.
Yes.
So behind the scenes in that aspect, and a pot of coffee and juice for the children. I mean, it's very simple. And I, like I had said earlier, I have had so many incredible volunteers for the children's side mm-hmm. that I think they even look forward to seeing the kids every week. Mm. So any parish can do this. Mm. Any parish can do this. And I'd be more than happy to help in any way.
Yeah, very good. Is there information about this available like at St. Wenceslas
yeah,
website or something
absolutely.
Like that?
Absolutely. Okay. It's on our parish website.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Wow. Okay. And have you had any thoughts about maybe packaging this, like putting together a little instruction manual or something like that and passing it on? Yeah.
yeah.
Well,
yeah.
let this be the catalyst then.
All right.
Yeah.
yeah.
And let it blossom and flourish yes. from here. So you said the children love to get together and play.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, playing is a good thing. Mm-hmm. I'm not denigrating that at all. But at the same time, there's got to be some maybe deeper, if maybe unseen fruit that's going on in these kids' lives. What do you think that is?
Well, they're seeing their fathers meet with the priest every Saturday. And to me, that's just incredible. My own husband had told me, you know, Saturday mornings are tough, Lynn. I'm busy.
And
this is my day to catch up. And he hasn't missed. And so just seeing my kids' eyes, you know, watching that, it's incredibly impactful.
Mm-hmm.
And again, just to have that access to the priest, you know, when you go to Sunday Mass, he's up front. And to be able to sit across the table with him and just, you know, gain a relationship that way has been pretty powerful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so you see, obviously, fruit in the dads as well to be spending time with their kids, of
right.
course.
But one-on-one, also, yeah.
But unpacking the Sunday readings mm-hmm. as well with the priest.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yes.
How has Father been receiving this as it's continued to go on and it sounds like flourish tremendously?
He loves it.
Does he?
He loves it.
Yeah.
yeah. He absolutely loves it. In fact, he'll probably hate me for saying this, but a few Sundays ago, he actually read the wrong gospel. And you should have seen the guys out in the pews. They recognized it right away. I mean, I'm surprised they didn't start waving their arms like, wait, you're reading the wrong gospel. But it was very cool to see and to hear them the next Saturday, them, you know, saying, Father, what happened? You know, like, mm-hmm. so the relationship piece has been huge too.
Yeah. And I'm just thinking off the top of my head here. So also these kids are being introduced to church is a not just a safe place, which, mm-hmm. you know, please God it is, but as a place I want to go.
Yes.
I want to be there.
Yes.
I want to be there. And Father's a familiar figure as mm-hmm. well, as well as I see my dad engaging in his faith.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, this is a win-win-win. I think you do have to package this.
Okay. I'm
and
on it.
10% of the proceeds needs to come back
okay.
to the Rediscover Hour. Right. Very good. Lynn, just one final question for you. So as you're thinking about maybe there are some dads out there who aren't, yeah, they would say, well, yeah, Saturday morning, just tough. I don't think I'd be able to do that. Mm-hmm. What would you say? What would you say to encourage them mm-hmm. to actually think about doing something like this?
Mm-hmm. You owe it to your children. Try it. Just
wow.
try it.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's good enough for me. Lynn Stika, thank you so much for being on the Rediscover Hour with us today. And if you'd like to find out more, just go ahead and find St. Wenceslaus Parish website. And then we will, we'll try to post some information on our Rediscover webpage as well. Rediscover-faith.org, or you can go to our Facebook page as well, which is Rediscover Faith as well on Facebook. Turning the page now to our next set of guests, we have with us Sarah Dam and Liz Kelly. Lizza, I don't know where I came up with that. Sorry, Liz. And they are going to be talking about a women's scripture study based on Liz's own book, Jesus Approaches. Welcome to the program to the both of you.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, great to have you. You again, Liz and Sarah. Good to see you again. All right, Liz, let's start with you. What is the book Jesus Approaches all about?
The book is not a scholarly tome. That's the first thing I want to say. People know I'm a professor and they think, uh-oh. But it's very much entering into the stories of the lives of the women who encountered Jesus firsthand. And pairing that with the stories of lives of contemporary women and their encounters with Christ, how these things overlap, what it is that we can learn about ourselves as women by examining, not just in study, but also in praying with the scriptures surrounding these events, these Christ encounters.
Right. And so there's been this scripture study for women that has has emerged from the book. And Sarah, you've been a part of one of these scripture studies, is that right?
Yes, I have. Liz offered this study in the fall, this last fall, and I was part of that initial study, and I'm going to be a facilitator this next time it's offered in the spring.
Right. So we do have not one, not two, but three different locations where
That's
this
right.
scripture study is going to be offered. So apparently, people are going to be kept rather busy here. All right. Yeah. So do you know these locations off the top of your head?
Yes. St. Ambrose in Woodbury on Monday evenings, St. Hedwig in Northeast Minneapolis on Tuesday evenings, and Thursday morning at St. Hubert's in Chanhassen with childcare.
Ooh. With childcare.
Yes.
Yeah, and they start actually Easter week is what I'm seeing here.
Right, so. Right. Immediately after Easter. We didn't want to be in competition with Lent. And at the same time, you'll be finished by the time the kids are out for school. So
wonderful. Wonderful timing. Yeah, and we have a rather early Easter this year, so
that works
together very well.
It
All right.
helps. And yeah. the first chapter is on Magdalene encountering the resurrected Christ. And so, in just liturgically speaking, it's going to be a very good fit to launch from Easter right into that meditation.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense. So first I'll ask you, Liz, from what should a woman who attends these studies expect to glean faith-wise from studying the scriptures like this?
I've been really moved by the response we got from the fall study, just how many women expressed that they had their prayer lives, but also their understanding of their relationship to Christ, how it was refreshed in ways that they didn't even expect. And that gospel stories that they had read a thousand times suddenly took on new life. So that's obviously key. We want women to feel refreshed, to be re-engaged with things that maybe they even think that they know. But this is always the life of faith. We're always going deeper. We're always being refreshed. You can't exhaust the word of God. It is ever new.
Amen to that. That's certainly been the case in my own life. Every time you open the scriptures, there's something new. Sarah, you went through the study. What kind of fruit has it borne in your life?
Oh, it has been a real blessing to me and my personal relationship with the Lord, first and foremost. I think that this book just really invites us into that invitation that Jesus has for each and every one of us. He wants to encounter us. He wants to approach us the same way he approached the women in the scriptures. He wants that personal relationship with us. And so this book just kind of opens up that invitation in new ways to go deeper in our relationship with the Lord,
Also, we get a chance to meet these women from the Gospels. And like Liz said, we've read these stories, we're familiar with these stories, but this study just lets us meet them in a really personal way. Like, for example, with Magdalene, I obviously you know who St. Mary Magdalene is, but I always kind of didn't know that I connected with her. And through this book, I met her and I did connect with her in a way that I never expected to. And I think that's what's so cool, is these women really are our sisters in Christ, and we meet them and we grow in kind of a friendship with them.
I have to say, as a convert to the Catholic faith, that's been one of the beautiful things about saying that, yes, I had a personal relationship with the Lord before becoming Catholic, but now I'm starting to cultivate all these personal relationships with my elder brothers and sisters, too, who have gone before. Mm-hmm. So, Liz, what other lovely women will women encounter in the study? Who else is featured in the book?
Well, Magdalene became kind of the anchoress for the book. She was the first chapter that I finished, and when I realized that that chapter was working and I wanted to do this again, mm-hmm. 6 or 7 or 8 times, I went to her and I said, okay, who else needs to be in the book? And my mind was just immediately populated, boom, 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 with sort of the archetypal relationships that we have with Christ as daughter. Motherhood is expressed. There's a whole chapter, woman with a wound, talking about healing, not just physical healing, but emotional and spiritual healing. There's a chapter on Mary and Martha and our relationship to work and good works. There's a chapter titled Veronica about compassion and feminine compassion in particular, and the ways that this was expressed with Christ. I know I'm forgetting some of the chapters. I'm looking. I have the book right in front of me. But in any case, you get the idea that I've sort of plucked through. There's a chapter, the finishing chapter is called Queen, and it's a reflection on how we're all invited not to just remain daughters, not just remain princesses right. of the king, but really to serve in the same way that Mary did as queen.
Sarah, any particular one of those really stand out in your memory as just hit you right where you live type of thing?
Well, for me, it was the woman with the hemorrhage. And we meet her, and I was so struck by how her faith was so strong, and it saved her. All she had to do was touch the garment of Jesus. And I think as someone who I do struggle with some health issues, that really hit me in a really powerful way. She had something to teach me in my own suffering, and then in how I approach Jesus and how he approaches me in what type of healing, because he has healing for all of us. It just might look differently. And she had a lot to teach me about that.
Can I just add one chapter? I don't want to get lost. Sure. There's one called Woman Undivided. And this is for women who are single or on their own in any capacity, whether widowed or divorced or never married. So I know that that chapter really spoke to a lot of women who are on their own in the church and sometimes invisible. So we try to honor you in this chapter.
Wonderful. And you're anticipating my next question to you, Liz, which was who should attend? What kind of women should attend?
I am excited that in the first study, we had a wide range, young women, never married, all the way through to married with children, professional women, women who are grandmothers and great-grandmothers. So it's a very rich pool of women that you will encounter. I think anybody who wants to refresh their relationship to Scripture, to refresh their relationship to Christ through Scripture, we want to own it, and at the same time, we want it to own us. Mm-hmm. And I think that this book helps women to achieve that particular kind of tension, a positive tension with Scripture. So if you're looking to refresh your prayer life, particularly with the Word, join us.
Nice, nice. Sarah, as you're a budding facilitator of the study as well, so what's the layout? What does it look like? What happens when you get together?
so we come together, and I don't know if this will change, but this is what we did in the fall. We come together in prayer and as a large group, and Liz gives us a teaching on the chapter that we are going to be studying or have studied the week before. And it's great because it's more, even more. She just gives us even more than what we've already read. She goes even deeper. And then we break off into our small group, and we have a little, opening prayer, just asking the Holy Spirit to be with us. And then we discuss the chapter that we've read. In the book, there are discussion questions, so we usually kind of use those to kind of get the conversation going. But oftentimes, we're sharing about what really stood out for us in the chapter. Liz gives us some opportunity to actually pray with the scriptures, and she shows us kind of how to do that. So then we're able to talk about, well, I used this scripture, and this is what happened to me during my prayer time. And usually those experiences that we get to listen to from the other women are so rich and so deep and beautiful that we're just able to really inspire each other through the small group. And that's what I loved. I was just really touched by how the women really were open. They were really open to sharing and just really diving into this book. And I think Liz is so open in her writing that it invites other women to just really kind of, like Liz said, own this and really make it our own.
Nice. Liz, as thinking kind of from a perspective of vision, what do you envision, or what do you hope are... It sounds like there are many venues for fruit being born here. Mm. What is your vision for all the different types of fruit that is born out of people who attend or in people who attend this study?
Yeah, it's funny how often I hear people say, my husband has to read this, my son has to read this, my priest has to read this. We had a reviewer talk about how it should be in every Christian seminary. So I do think that there's a way that women find themselves seen and received in the book. In the pages, they feel known. And of course, that's an experience you want to give to the people closest around you. We want to be known. And so I've been very heartened by that. Based on the fall study, I've also written a supplemental study guide that will be available to the spring cluster. And then hopefully after that, we'll be able to make it available nationally once it's sort of tightened up.
Yeah, wonderful. Yeah, and Sarah, I'm just wondering, again, going back to your experience and having gone through the workshop, do you approach the scriptures and the women that are covered in the book? You've mentioned this already, but do you approach them differently? So does it catch you in a different way when you encounter the stories of some of these women?
Yes, it really does. I feel like my own prayer life and my own practice of praying with the scriptures has really grown, and it has a lot to do with this book. I'm able to kind of just in a way that I never have before kind of enter into the story, and I can see myself in the story, and I think that has really allowed my encounters with these women to grow, and I can see their faces, and I can see their smiles, and their welcome. They want me to join them in their discipleship, and I think of the Lord, and I think it's come alive in a really beautiful way.
Yeah, my sense, even in writing the book, was that these were women who wanted to be better known, not for themselves, but for what healing they experienced through their relationship with Christ. So they want to be known only so that they can better reveal the Lord.
Wow. That's great. Again, the book is called Jesus Approaches. And by the way, Liz, where can people find a copy of this book?
It's on Amazon. It's in your local Catholic bookstores. Please do support them if you have them in your area. It's online at Loyola, my website, any number of places.
Okay, very good. And the subtitle is What Contemporary Women Can Learn About Healing and Freedom and Joy from the Women of the New Testament. Jesus Approaches by Elizabeth Kelly. And again, just to run over where these women's scripture studies are going to be held, three location and time options starting the week of Easter. So Monday evening starting April 2nd, 6:30 to 8 p.m. at St. Ambrose in Woodbury. Tuesday evening, starting April 3rd to May 22nd, 7 to 8:30 p.m., and that's going to be at St. Hedwig in Northeast Minneapolis. And finally, Thursday mornings with childcare, ladies.
Woo-hoo.
Thursday mornings with childcare, April 5th to May 24th, 9:30 to 11 a.m. And that one is down at St. Hubert in Chanhassen. Right. Sounds intriguing, and you can certainly learn more about that on the rediscover-faith.org website, as well as on archspm.org. I've seen it on there as well. Liz Kelly, Sarah Dam, thank you so much for being on the Rediscover Hour this morning, and all the best to you as you launch into the scripture study.
Thank you.
All right, we are headed into our final break, but when we come back, we do have a number of other things going on. It is Lent, the season when Catholics do a bunch of stuff, right? So we're going to come back with many more offerings. Stay with us. Rediscover.
Seems like the roller coaster stock market has everyone on edge lately. What if you could find something safe and secure that's guaranteed to grow, no matter what the market does? If you want to safely tuck your hard-earned money away, but still want growth, your friends at Catholic United have just the answer, a Catholic United annuity. Their current first-year crediting rate for new annuities is 3%, with a guaranteed annual rate of 1.5%, better than most bank CDs you'll find. Catholic United annuities are safe with zero account service fees, and you can set them up like a Roth or traditional IRA. Plus, if you want, you can even create monthly, quarterly, or yearly income payments back to yourself. What's not to like about that? Guarantee yourself a positive return, free from stock market risk. Go to CatholicUnitedFinancial.org and find your local rep who can walk you through all the options. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. Give them a call today.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Wow, Paul.
What?
A lot of stuff there.
Lots of stuff.
Wow, that was amazing.
There's
three things.
There's always something going on.
Exactly, and we've got a whole other list of things here.
A whole bunch of things. Bishop Andrew Cousins invites all men, fathers, and sons to the Archdiocesan Men's Conference, Saturday, March 10th, 2018, St. Thomas Academy, Mendota Heights. Theme this year is on Building Christian Fathers. Keynote speaker, Monsignor Thomas Richter, the new rector of the St. Paul Seminary. Conference includes mass breakout sessions with dynamic speakers and an opportunity for the Sacrament of Reconciliation. Check online for registration at rediscover-faith.org or for questions, call Enzo Randazzo, 651-291-4483.
24 Hours for the Lord is a day-long outpouring of God's loving mercy through the Sacrament of Reconciliation in the holy season of Lent. The Cathedral of St. Paul invites you to 24 Hours for the Lord starting on Friday, March 9th at 8 a.m., continuing on to Saturday, March 10th at 8 a.m. Eucharistic Adoration will be held throughout except for Mass at 5:15 p.m. on Friday evening.
Come to the Cathedral of St. Paul for an evening with George Weigel, Wednesday, March 14th, 7 to 8:30 p.m. George Weigel, author of the renowned biography of Pope John Paul II, Witness to Hope, will discuss his new book, Lessons in Hope, which will be available for purchase at the event. Mr. Weigel will be on hand afterwards for a book signing. The event is free and open to the public. For more information, visit cathedralstpaul.org.
The annual Outdoor Way of the Cross downtown St. Paul. Hey, I think I just heard something about that. It's happening again this Good Friday, March 30th. The Way of the Cross is an annual procession held on Good Friday, organized by Communion and Liberation, and it publicly commemorates five stations of the Passion of Jesus Christ. At each station, readings from Scripture will be offered, along with hymns, reflections, and meditations. You are invited to join us as we gather on the steps of the St. Paul Cathedral at 4:45 p.m. on Good Friday, process to a few stops around downtown, and finally ascend to the cathedral for Good Friday service at 7 p.m. Visit wayofthecrosstwincities.org for more information, or go back and listen to the archives of this show, and you'll hear more about it there.
Join local author and speaker Elizabeth Kelly in an eight-week Bible study based on her new book, Jesus Approaches, What Today's Women Can Learn About Healing, Freedom, and Joy from the Women of the New Testament. strengthen the tether between your heart and the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Join us this spring. Bible study will be offered at 3 locations on 3 different days. Monday evenings from April 2nd to May 21st, 6:30 to 8 p.m. at St. Ambrose in Woodbury. Tuesday evenings, April 3rd to May 22nd, 7 to 8:30 p.m. at St. Hedwig's in Minneapolis. And Thursday mornings with child care, April 5th to May 24th, 9:30 to 11 a.m. at St. Hubert in Chanhassen. Cost $60 per person, includes the book and the study materials. For more information and to register, visit the events page at rediscover-faith.org.
Yeah, wow.
Tons of things.
I know it. And hey, don't forget to go out and get your fish fry on Friday nights too.
Oh, yeah.
There's lots of those going on around the area, so check out the parishes near you for what's going on in terms of fish fries. Next time on the Rediscover Hour, we're going to lay out the Catholic understanding of the nature of man and woman. What's the right way to think about man and woman? We'll hear from Dr. Michelle Curtella, president of the American College of Pediatricians, on the science of sex differences, as well as chaplain of courage, Father Paul Check, rector of St. John Fisher Seminary in the Diocese of Bridgeport, Connecticut. Father Check is going to speak to us on the pastoral approach to same-sex attraction and how to reach out to others in truth and love. Until then, go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday evening at 9, Saturday at noon, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. Brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. You can find show archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.